pleasant good morning to you, and welcome to the Deed of Inheritance, a program sponsored by Victory Christian Fellowship. And we, of course, are located in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. And I'm sure that you have heard this program before, and we're so glad that you have joined us again. My name is Fiona Pishka, and I'm here with my husband, Pastor Doug.
Hello, and I want to say hello to everybody who's listening all around the world.
Amen. And of course, we want to thank our church family for sponsoring this program this morning. We are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and, of course, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. And we just started our Alpha program last week, Pastor Doug, and we had a wonderful time.
Yeah, we had about 15 people here. They're learning about the basic foundations of Christianity. They're getting their questions answered. And, of course, we eat good and have good fellowship as well.
Amen. And it's not too late to start if it's something that you are interested in participating. The Alpha course is a discipleship course. It's about 10 weeks long, and we talk about Christianity and everything about Christianity, all the questions that you might have. It is a great place to ask those questions. It's specifically designed for people who have been churched for a long time, people who have never entered a church, and people who have always been curious about who God is, who Jesus is, and who the Holy Spirit is. So if any of those things interest you, we'd certainly like to see you if you've never participated in a program like that before. And of course, you are welcome to join us here in Palmyra. You could visit our website at www.vcfpa.org. And we have information on our website. Actually, we have every single session, what it is that is taught in those sessions, so that you're more familiar with what it is that happens here. But this is a free program, and we'd love to have you join us. Of course, tonight we will be having our own Pastor Herb Hoover. He will be speaking again tonight in our Wednesday night service. And the topic, Pastor Doug, he's teaching on is called Holes, H-O-L-E-S.
Yeah, basically there was many people in the Bible that was taken out of a hole. Jesus came out of a tomb. Joseph was taken out of the pit. And that's what he's going to be talking about. It's going to be great.
Amen. We had a wonderful time last Wednesday with his sermon as well, where he talked about the man in the mirror, the perspective from the mirror. You may listen to that program as well on our website under the free resources tab. We have all of our sermons on there. We upload them as quickly as we can. And so you are welcome to listen to those at any time. www.vcfpa.org. And of course, you may call us here at any time at 717-838-2033 here at Victory Christian Fellowship. Well, right now, we'll hand it over to Pastor Doug. He's going to pray with you, and then we'll get started with the word. God bless you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful and thankful to be able to come into your presence and allow your word to go forth over this broadcast called The Deed of Inheritance. And Lord, I just pray that you would touch every listener, inspire them, fill them with your goodness, and just bring them joy in Jesus' name as they inherit God's promises and experience their benefits. Well, as the Easter season is coming upon us, I would like to talk to you about the significance of the cross. We know that our dear Savior, Jesus, the righteous one, the Son of God, he came and he lived a perfect life, but yet he died a tragic death. He died on the cross for you and I, for our sins, but then he rose again from the dead. And I want to just spend some time looking at the cross, the significance of the cross. Now, the cross itself, it was a tragic and gruesome way to die. According to Nelson's Bible Dictionary, those sentenced to death on the cross in the Roman period were usually beaten with leather lashes, a procedure which often resulted in severe loss of blood. Victims were generally forced to carry the upper crossbeam to the execution site, where the central stake was already set up. After being fastened to the crossbeam on the ground with ropes, or in rare cases, nails through the wrist, the naked victim was then hoisted with the crossbeam against the standing vertical stake. A block or peg was sometimes fastened to the stake as a crude seat. The feet were then tied or nailed to the stake. And there was a recent discovery near Jerusalem of the bones of a crucifixion victim, suggests that the knees were bent up side by side, parallel to the cross beam, and the nail was then driven through the side of the ankles. And death by suffocation or exhaustion normally followed only after a long period of agonizing pain. And that is according to Nelson's Bible Dictionary. But the Apostle Paul made this statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. He said, "For Christ sent me out not to baptize, but to evangelize by preaching the glad tidings or the gospel, and not with verbal eloquence, lest the cross of Christ should be deprived of force and emptied of his power and rendered vain. For the story of the message of the cross is sheer absurdity and folly to those who are perishing and on their way to perdition, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God." See, the cross is really a demonstration of the love and the power of God. The cross is the gateway into God's goodness. The cross is the key to possessing all of God's blessings. In order to receive from God, you must go through the cross. And Christ is the centerpiece of God's bountiful table. Now, his table contains everything you need, want, and desire. Everything on the table is good. And the cross represents the power of God. It shows how far God will go to save mankind. It is the greatest demonstration of love anyone can have for another. Jesus said himself in John 15, verses 12 and 13, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love, or no one has shown stronger affection than to lay down or give up his own life for his friends." See, Jesus' life wasn't taken from him, but it was offered willingly as a sacrifice. He came to give his life as a ransom. He came to pay a debt he did not owe. And we owed a debt that we could not pay. But thank God that Jesus came and did what he did. Thank God for the cross. Now, what happens is man's intellectualism interferes with the power of the cross. See, the cross is really a demonstration of God's power, because Paul said, "To those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God." He was speaking of the cross. The cross is the power. See, there is power in love. Love is the most powerful force that anyone can ever come under. And to those being saved, the cross is the power of God. But to those perishing, the cross is absurdity and folly. You know, it's foolish. The Bible talks often about the foolishness of preaching is the avenue by which God saves mankind. And if you take this equation, you have one cross plus three nails equals four given. That's an equation. It says one cross plus three nails equals four given. And, you know, Christ really took our place on the cross. We were supposed to be on the cross. We were supposed to be punished. We were supposed to experience the wrath of God. But Jesus became our substitute. He took our place. And along with taking our place, he took our punishment. He bore the entire wrath of God on his shoulders as he became sin who knew no sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21 says this: "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." See, Paul was pleading with us. He said, you know, dear friend, if you're listening to this broadcast today, you need to be reconciled to God if you're not already reconciled to God. You need to be made right with God. You need to be justified with God. You need to be made righteous. You need to be in right standing with God. And the way we do that is through the cross. Jesus, he did not know sin. He did not give in to the temptation of sin, but he lived a sinless life. He lived a perfect life, but he became sin who knew no sin for our benefit so that we could be reconciled to God. And, you know, when Jesus became sin, the Bible says he cried out on the cross. He said, my God, why has you forsaken me? And he did that because that was prophesied in Psalms of what was going to take place. But see, the significance of the cross is what I want to emphasize to you today. The cross was an instrument of death. And Jesus said himself, he said, unless a kernel of wheat fall to the ground and die, it will not produce life. See, in order for true life to take place, death had to occur. And death occurred on the cross. And so the message of the cross, what is the message of the cross, or what can we learn from the cross? We can learn that it is the power of God to save. The cross was where he nailed sin. The cross was where he destroyed the sin nature. The cross was where he regained what Adam lost. And it is the cross that Jesus became the sacrificial lamb that took away the sins of the world. So the message of the cross, it is the power of God to save. You know, Paul, he determined that he would know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He was talking to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And he was telling about how when he came to them, he did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. He said, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It is in that simple message that God's power comes on a person to change their life for eternity. It is in the simple message of the cross. It is not in eloquent speech. It is not in a high education. Now, there's nothing wrong with education. I'm all for education. I'm all for a person pursuing degrees and even getting a doctorate. I'm all for learning. But there are things that are more important than the knowledge that someone receives. It is the simple message of the cross that brings salvation. It brings restoration. It brings a right relationship with God. And it is through that message. So the first significance of the cross is that it is the power of God to save. And what is the glory of the cross? The glory of the cross is where it separates us from the world and its method and way of doing things. Paul said that I am crucified from the world and the world is crucified from me at the cross. See, Christianity demands for us to be separate. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. Be holy, for I am holy. See, in order to be holy, you've got to go through the instrument of death, which is the cross. You know, even Jesus told his disciples that they had to carry the cross and that there was going to be, you know, the cross is all about denying oneself. Matthew 10, 37 and 39 says this, he who loves father or mother more than me, Jesus is talking here, is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He said, whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life on my account will find it. So you must love Jesus above everything else and everyone else. The cross is about gain through loss. See, through the cross, we gain instead of lose. People who never come through the cross, they're going to lose. Even if they gain the whole world, they're going to lose their soul and they're going to end up in eternity with nothing. So the glory of the cross is where we get separated from the world, according to Galatians 6:14. Paul says, I am crucified from the world and the world is crucified for me at the cross. See, like, you know, there's a song, it says, at the cross, where I first saw the light. If you've ever been to St. Louis, in St. Louis, they have a big arch. It's really called, they call it the Gateway to the Midwest. I'm from Illinois, and I went to school in Tulsa, and I made several trips from Illinois to Tulsa. And I would often pass by the arch, and the arch is very tall, and you can go up in the arch, and you can look over the entire area of St. Louis. But it is the gateway to the Midwest. See, now the cross is the gateway to God's goodness. If you want to receive the benefits that our Father God gives us, you must go through the cross, and you must carry your cross. That's what Jesus instructed us to do. And then the third significance of the cross is the reconciliation of the cross is where he kills the old nature and he makes a new man. The Bible says if anybody be in Christ, they are a new creature. Well, Christ went to the cross. See, even Jesus himself, even the Son of God, had to go to the cross. If he hadn't gone to the cross, we would still be stuck with our sin nature. But thank God, he went to the cross and he destroyed the sin nature. He nailed the sin nature to the cross. And so the reconciliation of the cross is where he kills the old nature and he makes the new man. The cross is a key ingredient to our new life in Christ Jesus. But it's the gateway. Now, Jesus' ministry did not end at the cross. It didn't stop at the cross. He completed his work at the cross, but then he went on to a resurrection. You know, thank God that Jesus is still not on the cross today. He did get off the cross, and he did rise from the dead. So he is not still on the cross anymore, but the Bible says he is sitting at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for you and I. He is praying for you. He is cheering you on. He's saying, come on, you can make it. I'll help you. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll instruct you. And then the fourth significance of the cross is that there are enemies of the cross. Did you know that the cross has enemies? And Paul talks about it in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18. He says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from where we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? And Paul mentions some things here in this third chapter of Philippians, of some things that are enemies to the cross. He talks about people trying to live according to the law. And so legalism is an enemy to the cross. You know, people who are legalistic become self-righteous. They're actually puffed up in pride. Pride is the thing that's motivating them, and they use their self as a standard. So legalism, people who try to live by the letter of the law, the Bible says the letter of the law kills, but the spirit of the law gives life. And there is a law of sin and death, but there is also a law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There are two laws that you can choose to live by. You can live by the law of sin and death, or you can live by the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So here are some other enemies of the cross. Paul mentions in here, he says that there are some who are mischief. They operate in mischief. They're mischief makers. People who take the things of God lightly. They treat the people of God disrespectfully. They don't recognize the body of Christ. You know, when someone doesn't recognize the body of Christ, it brings damnation onto them. So legalism is an enemy of the cross. Mischief makers are those who take things lightly, or those who mutilate the flesh are enemies of the cross. Anything associated with the flesh is an enemy to the cross. The, you know, in this passage of Scripture, Paul talks about those who are confident in the flesh are ones who are enemies of the cross. They're confident in the flesh. In other words, they look to privileges that they can gain, advantages that they can have, and they focus on the outward appearance. You know, anybody who, like actors, they focus on, they determine whether an actor is good or bad by the awards they're given. The Academy Awards tells us whether an actor is good or bad. Well, that's not necessarily true. Maybe in their acting, but a lot of those actors, they live very immoral lives, but they're put on a pedestal. So those who are confident in the flesh, those who are self-righteous, are enemies of the cross. Those who hold on to the past, because Paul, he talks about in this passage here, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he says, those who are flesh-ruled. What does it mean to be flesh-ruled? It means to be governed by your senses and your sensual appetites. That's an enemy to the cross. In other words, people who operate according to these things, they render ineffective the power of the cross. Even though the cross is the power of God, it shows us the power of God. That the power does not benefit them. It would be like short-circuiting something that is wired electrically. And then finally, Paul talked about those people who were they're natural-minded. You know, everything, they're intellectuals, human reasoning. Those are things that are enemies to the cross. But there are enemies. Friend, don't be an enemy of the cross. Go through the cross, surrender your life, lay down your life, deny yourself, and God will give you a better life on the other side. He'll take you to a resurrection. He'll exalt you. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Another significance of the cross, the peace of the cross, is when we all return to our right place with God. Colossians 1:20 tells us how we are reconciled to God, and we have the peace of the cross. The cross makes peace between us and God. It nullifies God's wrath. It satisfies his wrath. In other words, it pays the ransom that, you know, sin will hold a person ransom. It'll hold you captive, and it took the payment of blood to release us from that captivity. But thank God, there we have a cross, blood was shed, and now we are released from that captivity. And then the final significance of the cross is the accomplishment of the cross. What did God accomplish in the cross? God canceled the record that contained the charges against us. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15, the Bible says, "And you who were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God brought to life together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note with its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against us. This note he set aside and cleared completely out of our way by nailing it to the cross." Thank God. God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and a public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in the cross. See, God used the cross to totally and utterly defeat the enemy. It was at the cross where the enemy was exposed and he was totally and utterly stripped of his authority and his power and his anointing, and he was defeated at the cross. If the devil knew that Jesus was going to rise again from the dead, he would have never crucified him. But he did, because the devil is dumb. And he did not know God's plan. He did not know what God was going to do. But thank God, we have a cross. Jesus went to the cross. He accomplished everything that the Father led him to accomplish. And when he was on the cross and God's wrath was perfectly satisfied, he said, "It is finished." And when he did that, he gave up the ghost and he committed his spirit into the hands of God. And that is the end of the story. Our debt was paid right at that moment. But then he rose again from the dead, and now he is ever living to make intercession for us. So, friend, during this Easter season, think about the cross. Think about its significance for us. The cross is where God showed you how much he loves you. So may you inherit God's promises and experience his benefits regarding the cross, in Jesus' name.
Amen. I'm sure hope that you've enjoyed that today. It always helps for us to go back to where it all began for us and for our salvation, and how it is that we have new life in Christ and we have this freedom in Christ Jesus. And it's always good to know where it came from and how it came about. So we sure hope that you enjoy the program today. And of course, you can always call us at 717-838-2033. Our website is also available to you at www.vcfpa.org. And a lot of other sermons are online for you to listen for free. You could also email those messages to your friends and family. And also, this radio program is online. In case you're listening to us on the radio, you are welcome to listen online again at any time. All of this is free. Of course, send these programs off to different parts of the world, and let's start sharing the gospel with people that we know and how we could change people's lives. You know, you don't have to be a big preacher or someone that knows all the right answers, but when they're made available to you, you sure could send them off to the people that you love and the people that you know, so that they could have brand new life in Christ Jesus. Well, we love you here at Victory Christian Fellowship, and we'd certainly like to hear from you. So contact us anytime that you can, any way that you can that we have available, and we would be happy to get back in touch with you. God bless you today as you continue to inherit his promises and experience their benefits.